3, 2, 1. The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Todd Kunin, Denise Dirks, and our producer, Cal Hunter. We're having a great time here today. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO if you want to call in. Denise, go ahead and you can hit that normal number.
That normal number is 855-529-7234.
It is the 30th of March, 2024, and in this wet weekend, Good Friday to you from yesterday, and happy Easter. What a wonderful time of the year. I actually like the spring. I think the spring's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful time of year, and I'm excited about it.
Backyard always looks the best in the spring. It has all the colors along it.
I see it. I see your posts on social media. I love the beautiful. She has got a beautiful backyard, and the views are really pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, you look to the mountains. The hills are alive
with the sound of music.
Denise, do you have snake fencing on your thing?
We do on one side. Uh-huh. Yeah, we don't have any neighbors, really, because our neighbors behind us are way down the bottom. Yeah, but on the side by the green belt and wetlands, yes, we do have a snake fence.
That's what I was going to say.
That's why I can't go to her house.
That's right. It can't get through that fence.
Nice. Picked up on it right away.
We're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to have a case or no case, but we're going to talk about the Titanic law that might be in play here with the big ship hitting the bridge. By the way, I watched the video. There's actual video of it hitting the bridge, this big Costco
cargo ship.
It's called Costco, apparently, is the cargo ship. And you could see the lights flicker out. It's like it was having electrical problems.
Yeah.
It went black, and then it came back on, and so they couldn't control it. And that's when it hit the bridge. But don't forget, the bridge apparently didn't. They now build these bridges so those abutments are protected from ships hitting them. But this was an older bridge that didn't have that. But we're going to talk about that really quick. We're going to talk about Corey Richens. I'm sorry to bring up all the Utah stuff, but, hey, we're thinking about Chad Daybill that's going to trial pretty soon. That's the Utah one. There's some crazy things. Disney, we're going to talk about the Disney and DeSantis, Florida. They got something going on good. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. Is it Freed or Fried?
I think it's Freed.
That's what I thought.
Imprisoned, actually.
He's not freed anymore. His exactly. name.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about some interesting thing about sentencing. I'm going to get into sentencing issues on that one there. Jesse Smollett, please, we have to talk about that, but we will. Then the killer nurse. Look, innocent until proven guilty, but doggone it, she said some things that are very interesting, but there's lawsuits flying about that. We got Murdaugh case. Do we have to talk about Murdaugh again? It's another one of those. Maybe put Jesse Smollett and Murdaugh together. Jesse didn't kill anyone. Don't get me wrong. I'm not ripping on Jesse for that. But what a weird thing that happened with Jesse Smollett. Let's see. We got a couple of other things. Walgreens, and then we're talking about some other things that we're gonna reveal to you at a later date, but we've got a lot to talk about. Before we do any of that, let's just do our favorite thing that Fred Penny is on a roll to win, case or no case.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay! Patricia Rinello's spouse created a revocable trust just 2 months before they got married without her knowledge. He placed all of his money in that trust fund. Carly, his wife, had an issue with the before the nuptials trust when she found out. Paul Rinello also bought an investment property with his trust fund money as a down payment with his mother. She co-signed. And he had purchased another investment property with his mom before the marriage. Carla's the only one on the deed of their house, by the way. This is in Nevada. And so the couple, the soon-to-be ex-couple, was breaking up. I say soon-to-be because they're now getting a divorce. Carla asked her divorce lawyer to make sure she gets the things to which she is entitled. She wanted to know what that would be under the whole deal. Since it was a divorce, we know this is a case. But what do you think the outcome would be on this? Denise, I think I'm going to skip Todd. This is in your...
No, let's do her all right, that's last, because okay, you know what? I hate to say it. I'm not to change it, but...
All right,
Denise,
Todd,
if Denise, whatever Denise says, I'm going to say.
All right, Todd, go ahead.
So, because she's going to be smart. Let's go backwards. Is that okay, right, Cal?
Yeah, no, we'll start with
because she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, we'll
we
go
don't.
Go, what do you got?
All right, so before the marriage...
Yes.
He creates this trust...
In Nevada.
In Nevada with his mother...
Yep.
And then they end up, that trust ends up purchasing assets,
yep,
house and stuff, and he is the only one named.
On the other assets, on their family home, she's the only one named.
She as in the wife.
Right, correct, okay. Carla, yeah.
Carla is the only one named. He's the only one named on this, and, okay. Now, I guess the question that I have is, after the... house, let's say, was purchased, or after the asset was purchased with the trust, were any payments toward that house made out of community?
I'm presuming so because his mother co-signed or put up the down payment,
okay,
and I guess the rest of the money came out of his trust fund. If the interest it generated did not come out of their joint income at that point.
So.
I'm not defining joint income, but it came out of the proceeds from the trust. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so again, very limited knowledge of family law here, but it seems like he went to great lengths to identify what his separate property would be prior to being married, put it into a trust, purchased assets with that separate property, made the payments out of that separate property. His name was the only one on the deed for that separate property. So when the marriage is over with, it would remain his separate property unless... at any time during the marriage, he used his regular income community property assets to make payments on it, and then the community would have to be reimbursed. He would have to reimburse the community property based on what he paid, but I think that's how it goes. It continued to remain his separate property the whole time.
All right, wow, that's a lot of
unwinding.
So here's I'm going to make it simple. What he created prior to his marriage is all his. Like Todd said, unless he used the community property, what he and his wife were making together, to make payments on those houses. Sounds like he didn't. Sounds like it was mom and he stayed the same. Now, the wrench that's thrown in here is that the new house is put in his wife's name only.
Correct.
And what does she get? And he was using his separate property and money from his separate income from his mom's to pay the house payments on the new one, correct, Cal?
No, only on the investment property they bought together. They were paying off their home together.
The married couple was
paying off the familial home together.
Okay, with what? Was he paying it with his old asset money or just some new?
Good question. Since he put it in his wife's name, I'm sure he had a strategy.
Okay, all right. So let's assume that he did not use his income from the prior, before the marriage, to pay for this house that's only in his new wife's name.
Yeah.
If he puts it in her name and they're still using community money, this is Nevada, I don't know Nevada, but the California, I know enough to get myself in trouble. If they're using the community money, he's going to get some reimbursement for that, at least half of it, even if it's in her name, the house. So I'm going to say he gets part of the house. She can't touch any of his prior stuff, and he gets some money back from the house. And then we're going to come to Denise, the expert in this area of law, when we come back.
Don't these things get complicated? Well, Denise will give us
her answers. That's why I have lawyers.
Exactly. She'll give us her answer on case or no case after we take our first break of this hour. Stay right there. We'll have the answer for you as well, especially if you're playing along. You won't want to miss the result of this case or no case. Now this.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Come commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz to Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. 800-220-7612. That's 800-220-7612.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Hey, what brings you in?
I got a guy. I think you may have run into him.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
All right, we're with the case or no case to Denise, right? Cal?
Yep, Denise, what do you have on this?
Okay, what year was this?
It was fairly recent, I'm not sure, but it was in the in this century, let's put it
and,
that way.
And it was in Nevada, for
in
sure?
In Nevada, correct.
Yeah. Foley, Nevada.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to say this disclaimer. I don't practice law in Nevada. And I do know people that do. Mm-hmm. So if you need a Nevada attorney, feel free to come, you know, reach out to me, and I'll give you some referrals. But this is what I think. There's got to be something weird about this case. It can't just go normal case. Because, yes, it's true. If he has assets prior to marriage and he puts it into a trust, a revocable trust that is in his name only, he's the only trustee, and his wife is not a part of that, and then his mom puts a down payment on a piece of investment property, and then he makes the payments out of his trust, that is no commingling of community.
Right.
That would be a very clean transaction to keep that property separate with his mother. Why the question that's more interesting is, why would he put the other piece of property in just the name of his wife? And was that some way to trick her to think she was going to get that property and he would keep his separate property? But if it's a true community property estate, it doesn't work that way. If they made payments out of their income during the marriage, that's community. And even though it's in her name only, unless there's a clear writing that says he gave up his community interest in that property,
right,
then it's still community. It could be deemed to be her separate property, but there's a community component to it, too. And that's because the community income paid down on the principal of the house, right? I'm just using California law right now because I'm not sure what Nevada is.
At the end of the day, somebody is going to be unhappy. You know how that works, right?
I don't know if they will or not.
I think, Denise, you're smart in saying the following. You start out the whole discussion of, this just is too clean to be able to, something's wrong here. And I think Denise has got that right.
I know. And I don't know what it is that's wrong because I don't have enough information. But I'm going to just have fun with this one.
Say that she gets
part of
it.
And I'm going to say that this is a scenario but not a case.
Okay, he said it is a case. He said it's a case.
Yeah, it is a case. I'm sorry. It's a case.
No, answer's already
who
long.
Wins. I can't. I have to say who wins the case, right?
Yep.
Right. I'm going to say that. Well,
and what they win.
And you said what?
I said that the house and the trust stays with him, and the other house
is split.
Yeah.
And you said
I'm the same.
Same
basic thing.
I'm going to say that it ends up being a gift to wife of the house, and he gets his own separate property, just to make it different.
All right. I think he did the house in her name just to keep her off of his back about the other stuff. That was what the court mentioned. I mean, I too know a guy who practices law in Nevada, and here's what he told me, Denise. He said, and I quote, Nevada is a equitable property state, so the divorce court was under no obligation to divide the property 50-50. But generally, assets brought into the marriage are treated as separate property. Where it is in a community property state, any assets acquired during the marriage are deemed marital property and divided 50-50.
Right.
So the family home is community property if it was purchased during the marriage, and it was.
Yes.
And if joint funds were used to pay for the mortgage,
yes,
and it was.
Todd Nice.
So regardless of whose name is on the deed, it doesn't matter what he was trying to pull off with that. It doesn't matter. It's community property.
So Todd and I got that.
Yeah,
yep.
That's right. Right.
All right.
So that's what they told us. Now, next hour, we're going to go to Fresno in the case of a franchisee versus 7-Eleven and what constitutes, what do you call those guys, contractors? Yeah.
Yes. Employee or a sub or yes. a independent contractor.
Exactly. Coming
you
up
know
next
why
hour.
I lost that, right?
What?
Because you guys played me up.
Oh, now, Denise, you did fine. You just didn't win that time, but you did well. All right, now back to the show. That's Case or No Case.
All right, we're back to Utah again, back to Corey Richens. Who wants to tell the history of Corey Richens? By the way, she is an... want me to do it, or two of you guys want to do it?
Go ahead.
You fill in the holes.
All right.
She is a mother with children in Utah in a place called Camas, Utah, which is basically Park City, Utah. And apparently she, long story short, the allegations are that she offed her husband with fentanyl in his drink. It was like not a Red Bull, but some sort of energy drink.
It's a whiskey drink.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
It was a whiskey.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. They put it in the drink, and then he died. And there's issues about that he thought she was going to try to kill him and mention it to his sister and his mom, and they put a bunch of stuff in his name separately, and then next thing you know, there's a hearing in Utah. It's like a preliminary hearing.
Yes.
And the preliminary hearing shows that the, quote, person that cleans their business in the homes, the cleaner lady, apparently testified or said that she went and got the fentanyl for her and gave it to her, and now the allegations are that she drugged him up and killed him. So fill in some holes. What else is there in the holes about the facts of this case?
Well, I mean, first that...
she's pretty.
Well, yeah.
that justifies the killing.
and this is what we talked about last week, is that there were some, based upon unsealing of warrants, indications that Corey Richens' mom, they investigated to see whether she was involved, because Corey Richens' mom, mm-hmm. back in the early 2000s, had a paramour, a lover, who died of an overdose of OxyContin. And the detective in that case put in the warrant pursuant to that case that given the state that she was in her life, based on his training and experience, she did not seem like the type that would accidentally overdose on that drug. So there was that came out. Mom has not been charged in this new one, but we do have new charges now that have been brought against Corey Richens recently.
We're going to talk about that.
Talk about those when we come back.
All right, we'll be back.
The twists and turns never end. Radio Law Talk doesn't end until noon Pacific time, so stay tuned for all of it. We'll be back after we break away.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Keep listening for an exciting offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Copays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. 800-481-5621. That's 800-481-5621. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. 802-341-4537. That's 802-341-4537.
It's like Christmas in a cup.
What? No. I can explain what happened. I just made a joke.
This is Radio Law Talk.
So Corey Richens, on the March 3rd, 2022, the allegations are that Corey texted a man back. This is right before her husband was died, writing "love you" followed by kisses emojis, and they're not naming the individual, this unnamed man, on her texts. And so, what are they doing, Todd? Even though that's part of it, they're adding another allegation to the complaint after the preliminary hearing.
Yeah. So one, they've added several charges, but the one that's getting the most play here is that you've got this the night that Eric Richens died as a result of too much fentanyl and the fentanyl overdose. So he died about a month before that, Valentine's Day of 2022. He got Richens got very sick during the day after eating a sandwich that, as alleged, after eating a sandwich that Corey Richens had given him. And there was, and there had been speculation for a long time, and even some of this may have been presented at the preliminary hearing, that it was maybe she had tried to poison him in the sandwich that she gave him, and that's when he got sick, but he didn't die. And after the preliminary hearing where she was held to answer, so the court says, okay, there's enough evidence to proceed on the murder charge and everything else the DA's got in the complaint. And mind you, there were no attempted murder for this Valentine's Day sandwich incident. You know, the complaint moves forward after the preliminary hearing. Well, this last week, the prosecution filed an amended complaint, adding among other things, attempted murder for the Valentine's Day sandwich incident. And the concern that I have with that is, look, if you amend a complaint after the preliminary hearing, one of the things you have to show as the prosecutor is that there was enough evidence at the preliminary hearing to support the new charge. I don't know how much they got into this Valentine's Day incident, but it's now the basis of this new attempted murder charge. So she's facing attempted murder for something that happened on February 14th, 2022, and murder, same victim, for what happened on, what was it, March 3rd, 2022, about 2-3 weeks later. And so the question is, well, what kind of evidence? Now, look, if there was not enough evidence, this just happened last week, and I guarantee you the defense is going to file a motion to set aside the new allegations, and their argument's going to be, you included new allegations that were not brought up at the preliminary hearings, due process, we didn't have an opportunity to address those, and it's just going to end up delaying the process even more, depending, because now the judge is going to have to hear this hearing. And the other question I have is, why in the heck, if you thought she had done this, and if you think there was evidence presented at the preliminary hearing to support the charge, why didn't you charge it right after the prelim? Why wait now, almost a year later? Now, I know that there's this new evidence of text messages with the paramour that happened shortly before he died on the 8th of March.
And also on the sandwich incident.
And text with the sandwich incident, but look, you still have to show that evidence was presented at the prelim to support this. If the texts weren't there, then maybe you didn't have that evidence. So why are you throwing all of this in? It reeks of vindictive prosecution.
Well, what's interesting, I think Denise during the break brought up the most important thing. And don't forget, this is in quotes, reportedly that he told a friend, that is the husband that allegedly was the allegations that Corey killed her husband, told a friend, I think my wife is trying to poison me. And Denise came up with the best question. And
why did you stay with her?
Yeah.
He goes out right after this event. He goes out. He changes his will. He creates, he changes the beneficiaries on the life insurance policies. That's the biggest thing. He changes the beneficiaries and life insurance policies. He does protective mechanisms. So his sister will be there to take care of his kids. I mean, come on, guys. Why didn't you just leave her then? That's what I don't understand. And then later to accept a Moscow Mule? That's a whiskey drink from her and drink it before you go to bed and you die?
I would want to know the context that I think my wife is trying to kill me was setting. And I mean this seriously for this reason. Last week, I told people, I think my son is trying to kill me. And why is that? Because he's making me go to the gym, right? And I was in pain afterwards, and it was like sort of said in jest, but you're back and forth with that. You know, heaven forbid the guy say something to one of his friends, I think my wife is trying to kill me. How so? She has started cooking. We've been eating out the whole time, and she's a terrible cook. She's just, you don't know the context that it was said in. Because I agree with you, Denise. If he honestly thought his wife was trying to poison him, your remedy for that is not to change the trust. It's to go to the police.
Well, not only go to the police, don't eat or drink anything she gives you. Eat.
Yeah, but I perverse thing I think about are their kids.
Right, that's what
I would want to protect my children and myself, because if I'm not around, I can't protect my children. I would have left.
But then leaving them, she might have kept the children, and then he couldn't have watched them, I guess. Maybe that's
I would have taken the children and left the house.
She might have given a perfectly plausible explanation. No, honey, you just weren't feeling well. Maybe she apologized and said, you made me so mad, I promise I won't do it again.
No, I won't poison you again.
That's true. That happens.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
We're gonna watch it. Happens.
Speaking of prison terms, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. Now, that is the case we've talked about. Of the FTX guy. Now, this is apparently, is he an MIT grad? He's like he's a total brainiac. His mom and dad are professors, I think, at Stanford or something.
Yeah. Law professors.
Law professors. They're just brilliant people. And I'm wondering if he's a little bit on the spectrum, but he's kind of, that's what some has brought up. And I think Some of them even mentioned that in his sentencing. And he was just sentenced to 25 years in prison. And I'm going to talk about this. Not to get political, but I'm going to get a little bit. In New York, a police officer was shot and killed by a guy, a felon, who had almost 22 times before been arrested and or charged and was still let out. He'd been out of prison and jail multiple times. And yet, and again, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, yet here is a person that did bad things put in prison for 25 years, and they're letting these other felons out? I don't get that. I just don't get that, Todd or Denise, doesn't matter.
Well, okay.
And again, look. Oh,
Sam Friedman has a lot of victims. Somebody that is aggressive toward one person or hurts one person or whatever, that kind of a felon, there is one victim, right?
But they're not dead.
Well, no, I get it. They're not dead, but there's a big, huge group of victims. Like, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of victims.
But he's claiming that they're all going to get their money back. That's what their argument is.
Yeah, how's he going to come up with that?
Well, no, they're saying that his attorneys have brought forth evidence that they're in bankruptcy right now. They're getting the money back.
They're going to each get a piece of their money back.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm not disagreeing with the 25 years. I want to throw out some controversy to say, you know, here that happens. But now, again, that's New York. That's another story. But how does this guy, who's not, get 25 years, and they get
out? The first thing I would point out is it's the difference between federal law and state law.
Yeah.
So Bankman-Fried was tried and sentenced under federal law. He was sentenced to a federal prison, and the federal prison system has plenty of room. And the federal prison system is not the revolving door that state prisons are. The person that killed the officer in New York that had been in and out and in and out was released under the state prison system. State prison systems have
more leniency.
Sometimes it's leniency. It's more of a we just don't have enough bed space have people here.
Got it.
And you don't house people convicted of state crimes in federal prison or federal prisoners in state. They're separate and distinct.
I got it.
So you have that. That's one. The other thing is, and this is a sword that cuts both ways. You want to have uniformity in sentencing. I get that. But that's also the only way to have uniformity in sentencing is to do away with circumstances in mitigation. If there's mitigating, the judge has discretion. If you want it to just be, you do this crime, you get this time, doesn't matter, it's uniform across the board, you can. But there are a lot of people that will get swept up doing a lot of time that would otherwise have mitigating circumstances to let them out. As soon as you give a judge discretion to preserve that, you're going to run into issues like this where maybe people, because somebody errs on the side of caution, gets out when they're really dangerous.
We're going to be back, talk more. We got a lot more to talk about.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
Announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Uh-huh. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Well, come on.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call eInsurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427. Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. That's 800-635-7188.
Sit down, shut up, and listen.
That gentleman is a standard issue neuralizer, but you're not going to remember that.
Stop whining.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
That little our Favis, that stop boring me, that little little cute little girl that we have all the sayings, is winning national championships in acrobat.
That's her.
She's winning. She just won nationals last year. And
really,
she's
quite the tumbler,
She's quite the tumbler.
Cool.
I have to bring her in here and see what she talks about. Jesse Smollett, let's get this over with. Okay, this is what's bizarre. I think that he was supposed to go to jail for like 22 weeks.
He was supposed to do 150 days.
150 days, yeah. And then yet he's all these appeals going. How much money does this cost to fight this case about Jesse Smollett appealing his conviction for staging a racist attack is what people say. And apparently he did. The thing that's the most interesting fact I'm going to bring up that still cracks me up to this day, the allegations that he said, and the jury found him guilty, by the way.
Yep.
That, it was racist, it was MAGA hats, and people talking, they're Trumpers, and all this stuff, that it was, they're homophobes, and because he's a gay black man, and they, it was racist. When the cops show up when he makes this allegations, I know Todd's laughing. I'm going to ask Denise, what is the most odd thing that happened when the cops showed up when Jesse Smollett was telling this big fat lie? What was it? I don't think Denise remembers.
No,
that's why
I
we're
do.
Laughing.
Hang on.
What was it?
Give me a chance.
Hang on.
Giving you a hint, Denise.
I think that he was drinking a
Coke.
No,
still had the
noose
around his neck still, because he claimed they were trying. They put a noose around his neck, talking to him, and the officer's like, "Why do you still have that noose hanging around your neck?" Oh, well, they tried to. They put it around my neck. Would you take it off, please? Okay, you know, he just took it off.
No, but it was also it was weird because he was just sitting there calmly drinking a diet. How could he keep his Diet Coke in his hand through this attack?
Right. It was just funny. The funniest part was I get to see the cops coming in. All right, this happened, and you still have the noose sitting around your neck.
What were you doing that night? Well, why were you out that late? Well, I went to Subway to get a sandwich at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, throw that back in the pile.
Well, you know, look, there's a tie here, in my opinion, from this one to the case that we just did, which is the Bankman-Fried with the 25 years.
Right.
Now, this guy got 150 days. He's only served six of them. The remaining are in pending his appeal, right? But, you know, Why sentence him to that much? Let's remember.
Only 150, you mean?
Well, one of the objectives of sentencing is to deter similar conduct on behalf of others. So you go back to Bankman-Fried getting 25 years. Well, look, that sends notice to everybody in that industry. Remember, Bankman-Fried seems really, he seems really apologetic after he got caught. But if he hadn't gotten caught, if he'd gotten away with it, like a lot of people do in the crypto industry, 25 years sends notice that, hey, if you do this, you're going to get sentenced. For Smollett here, again, objectives of sentencing, they're arguing 150 days is too much. Well, you know, look, you sort of cost a lot of people a lot of money here, and 150 days might even be too small, but at a minimum, this should serve as a warning to others, don't do this. Fraud is a crime.
And well, so I see something that kind of reminds me of the Cosby case. And that's where you had the special prosecutor, or in Cosby's case, it was the DA, that made a deal with them to take care of that matter civilly. And then he agreed not to prosecute Cosby. And here, the special prosecutor cut a deal with him and dropped the case, and he had to forfeit his $10,000 bond, and he had to do community service. So he's arguing that was the end of that case. That was the end of the case. Could not be brought again, like a double jeopardy type of a thought.
But do you know why it wasn't? It wasn't because the special prosecutor that was appointed, the sitting prosecutor did not follow the protocol that was in place.
Wouldn't follow.
You can't recuse yourself as the sitting DA and then appoint your number two to prosecute the case. You have to recuse yourself to the DA, then go to the court, have the court appoint a new prosecutor. So everything that happened after the DA said, "I'm recusing myself," was null and void, and everybody should have known that. And
Smollett wouldn't have.
His attorneys definitely should have known that. They should have known. You didn't follow the appropriate procedure here. You can't just hand pick your person, your number one to number two to be the prosecutor. If you're recusing yourself because of conflict of interest, you can't be the one that picks the next person. Everybody should have known that.
Well, we're going to have to see how that goes. I'm looking forward to seeing the end of this case, actually.
I thought it was the end. I thought we were done with that.
Ain't we all,
There's that one in Murdaugh. You know, I thought we were the end of Murdaugh. Do we have to listen to more Murdaugh stuff?
Yes.
But look, and believe me, Jesse Smollett is nothing like the Murdaugh case. I'm not in any way saying that his case is anywhere close to this case. But it's just I'm tired of Murdaugh. But anyway, what's going on? The clerk that was supposedly jury tampering finally resigns, which she should have, and I'm still shocked a little bit. I thought for sure he would win an appeal for the jury tampering of this clerk. Now, is that going to matter? Because he's already admitted, and he's going to prison for the rest of his life anyway, because, even for the stealing money from his clients, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, he's not going to get out of prison alive.
Yeah, but I agree with that. I've been trying to think of why it's so important to him to be found not guilty or to have the conviction for the murder. I don't know if there are any life insurance policies for the two deceased that if he's the murderer don't kick in, but if he's not, they do pay out if he's acquitted of that. I'm not certain if anything, but he seems still pretty intent on trying to get that overturned. I do think that the clerk stepping down probably happened pretty late. That I would say this should have happened quite a while ago. And let's remember, she is still under investigation.
Right.
She's still the subject of two separate investigations, I think one having to do with wiretapping and then another one. And so it's appropriate.
That involved her son, right?
That's right.
She needs to do some time.
If
she's found guilty.
And then if she's not, then she can go ahead and ride the lecture circuit for her book.
Right. That's exactly. Here's the other thing. The reason the judge denied Murdaugh's request for a new trial is, quote, some fleeting and foolish comments by a publicly seeking clerk of the court basically ultimately did not influence jurors' decision. So that's what they're arguing, and so things go on.
So I take from that the judge disagreed that she was instrumental in getting one of the jurors booted from the jury, the dozen egg woman, who was leaning towards not guilty. So that's interesting.
I don't know, man. To me, just that was so egregious with the clerk was doing. Even though, again, waste of money because he's going to go to prison anyway, right?
He testified that, or he actually admitted guilt to fleecing his clients out of, multi-million dollars.
And that alone, didn't he? He already pled to that, and I think he got another 20, maybe 30,
but it was a lot.
Well, guess Disney and DeSantis, they are just best friends. And this fight over the special district is going to finally come to a close. Now, what is that? Disney basically, I'm going to give it in a nutshell because it's the details. Disney has its own special district, and their special district is like, basically, they're their own government is what it is. They don't have to go to the local county or city to approve this ride or building of that building, et cetera, et cetera. But what's happened is there's been a fight over DeSantis and Disney, and we're going to talk about it very briefly when we come back hour two about what the fight was about and why they're finally settling. Which is actually good for everybody in Florida. We'll be back hour three. We got a lot more to go through, and we got another case or no case. Stick with us.
Yep, Radio Law Talk will return after we break away, and we'll be back at the top of next hour, 6 after, so stay tuned for that.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.